Tabu, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
We're fine. We've only got a few minutes, and I guess the thing that I know, there's been some violence. There was an assassination attempt on a military general the other day. His daughter and his driver were killed. Now, is there any idea who carried out that attack and why?
Right. The security forces of Uganda are trying to string together the different leads about the possible assassins and their motive. And this attack was on General Katumba Wamala, who has been also reappointed as the Minister of Works. So he's a cabinet member of Uganda, and previously he was the Chief of Defense Forces, which is the Army Commander for Uganda. And he'd also served as the Inspector General of Police for Uganda. So he's a high-profile individual, but he was also a person of free will, and he really never moved with a lot of guards. And on this particular day, there was just one armed escort in the vehicle, and he didn't want a lead car or a follow-up security vehicle. So he lived a very simple life. He's a very affable guy, very likable, and a particular target to him was such a shock, because everybody was asking the question, why him? Of course, from that time, they were able to trace on the CCTV camera networks of police the individuals and the routes that they took to run away, but they have not arrested them. But what I just need to put in context is that General Katumba Wamala is not the only high-profile individual who has been shot by assassins riding on motorcycles. In fact, there has been a two-year hiatus, but before that, a member of parliament was gunned in similar fashion. There was a police commander who was shot like that. There have been a number of Muslim clerics who have been shot in similar fashion. Between 2013 to date, there are more than a dozen people, high-profile people, who have been killed in a similar way, including the state prosecutor. And in most cases, none of the cases has really been fully concluded, and neither has anybody been convicted. So this attack on General Katumba on the 1st of June, which happened at about 9 a.m. in Kampala, the capital of Uganda, really raised the question about security situation in the country, if high-profile individuals can be targeted like that. But the president, Yoweri Museveni, speaking after that attack, gave assurance that, you know, the security situation is in control, and that they are going to track down these assassins, and they will get them to face the long arm of the law. This has been similar promises in the follow-up of other attacks. So looks like a continuing pattern of attack, promise, then another attack, another promise.
Tabu, the other thing that I really wanted to speak to you about today is some of the coverage that you and the Daily Monitor have done of the riots last year. Is there any doubt that security forces are responsible for dozens of deaths during those riots in November?
There is no doubt that the civilians and armed civilians were shot by security forces. Some of them, according to a government's own inquiry report, 13 of them were involved in the riots, which means of the 54, the rest were not involved at all. And when we did extensive and decisive reporting about this, as you may already be aware, so the Uganda Police Force has summoned myself in my capacity as the managing editor for National Media Uganda, which publishes the Daily Monitor newspaper. I am the managing director for investigations on three alleged offenses. One is publication of false news, the other one is libel, and the other is incitement to violence. We have not reported. We have had engagement with the police to defer our appearance for interrogation, but the question right now should be about accountability for the lives lost, not who is reporting about it, in my view.
Have you had your interview with the police yet?
No, we have not yet. We asked for deferral. We should have appeared on Tuesday last week, but we requested them to allow us to go to them for interrogation on the 17th, because our managing director had exposed to somebody who eventually tested positive for coronavirus, and she's self-isolating at this moment. So we have asked them to give us the 2 weeks so that we are sure when we appear to them, we don't pose any particular pandemic threat.
Are you worried, Tabu, they might put you in jail?
Well, I don't know what the calculations of police is. We don't know at this point who the complainant in the case is. We therefore have a lot of uncertainties. There will be three outcomes from this. One is they could interrogate us and let us go and continue with the investigation. The second, they could say that we have sufficient evidence on the file and we think that your case is sufficient to be committed to court, in which case they will take us to court. And the other one could be, of course, holding us up in police cell for some time, and then they say we are still investigating. So we are really, and I am in particular psychologically and physically prepared for this scenario. This is not the first time I'm being summoned by police over stories, but I think it's a way to scare incisive and investigative journalism.
What about, and I'm sorry, this has to be, we've got less than a minute for you to answer this, Tabu, I'm sorry about this, but is it possible that the authorities could shut the paper down altogether?
Well, they have shut down the Daily Monitor newspaper twice before, in 2020, again in 2013, over stories that we have published. The president has been So the president has attacked the Daily Monitor newspaper back to back in his national televised addresses twice in the space of a week. He had called the newspaper evil, bad, and full of confused people. And he said in his address last Sunday that he is going to answer the Monitor. So now we don't know what the answering, quote unquote, would imply, what that would be. So we are on standby for the kind of answer. We hope that he will actually write a detailed article to counter whatever stories we have been reporting, and that he will not order soldiers or police to come and surround the place and shut it down.
Tabu, thank you so much for joining us. All the very best for the coming weeks.
Thank you very much and good evening.
That was Tabu Batugira, our correspondent in Kampala, Uganda. We rang, he didn't answer. The phone was just ringing, then he rang us back. And that wasn't such a bad line by Ugandan phone standards. Well, it seems to be like it's going to be a difficult few weeks for Tabu and his fellow reporters at the Daily Monitor. And we'll keep in touch with Tabu and keep you in touch with what's going on with him over there.